We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're not going to turn there. We're going to exercise at the beginning of the teaching also. So if anybody would like to speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please do. Because the whole chapter, the 1 Corinthians 14, we won't go through it. The power chapter, the owner's manual of your power, your turbo, is 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, not all of it, but right there. And really, if you read through it, 1 Corinthians 14, that whole chapter is about building up the assembly and order. And you can do these other things, but build the body up and putting others first and these other things. And so, go ahead.
Ermitiano cos para que mai pero coto shana pe mira que te via tots mira coto lai no spit per pasoconia anjura sendiaro. I am your God and I am your Father. Never forget this. When you find yourself swaying off the path to the left or to the right, grab hold of that safety net. Grab hold of that rope that I've thrown out to you and pull yourself back in. Know that it is imperative that you remember, stay within the confines of my word.
The prophecy, be bold and courageous, for you are victors. I put victory inside of you. You have Christ in you, the hope of the glory. So exercise that power. Do not be idle, but go forward exercising the great authority that I've given you as my sons and my daughters.
Know, my children, that it's never too late to come to me, that it's never enough that you come to me every day, several times. And know that failure is not in my vocabulary, and it shouldn't be in yours.
Evik utoras kenerek, elekere kutoras kemenori ukala kenevik. My children, remember that if you are angry or sad you don't have something, or you wish you had things like other people, look at what you do have. Look at the blessings you are blessed with every single day and you get to get. And for you to be able to know my word and have my Bible. So just look at the things you do have, not what you don't.
My peace I give to you. I give you my peace each day, and you have to accept it, and you have to reach out your hand and grasp it. You can't just expect it to come because I'm handing it to you, but you have to grab it.
Word prophecy. Throughout your day, stop and get peaceful, and I'll give you the direction I want you to go.
And thank you, Father, for all these words. And we thank you. Thank you guys for doing the scriptures too. What an offering. I like to think it was an offering before we come to Yahweh. Give him a scripture. Give him something he likes. Especially, you know, talk about him first. He knows what you're coming there for. I know you need help again. Here we go. But hey, before we talk about me, how about some of these scriptures? Tonight what I wanted to share on is Acts 1:8. You're going to receive power from on high. And one of the things that I want to give as a disclaimer with walking in power and walking the supernatural life is something that that I was led into when I started leading people into speaking in tongues. Is I would go, okay, I think Yahweh must have gave me this formula because it's worked really, really well. But I said, before I would do anything supernatural, I go, what's the worst case scenario? They go, what do you mean? If I was leading Israel into it, I go, what's the worst case scenario? It doesn't work. And they go, would you be able to survive after that? Can you handle that consequence of it not working? And they would look at me kind of like, what? I go, well, you've never done it your whole life. If it doesn't work, you're just going to have to continue without doing it. Can you handle that consequence?
Not much.
They would look at me, and since I would present it that way, they go, yeah. I go, what's the best case scenario? What is speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues makes you stronger, perfect prayer, sacred secrets, gives thanks excellently, and a sign of the unbeliever. But he could say you could pray perfectly, you could do these things, you could wake up, you would know where to pray, you could break your habits when you're weak, when you can't hold your tongue or whatever it is, you can do these things. What if? And what you do is, when you start talking about power, something like this, you give it to them. Would you like to try this? What if it doesn't work? If I'm getting ready to pull somebody out of the wheelchair, you're going to go, hey, if this doesn't work, we're falling on the ground. I'll put you back. Have you ever fallen out of a wheelchair before? Yeah? Okay. What if it works? And then you kind of let them think about it. Then they can say no. You go, okay, that's fine. But if we try it, what if it does work?
Yeah.
Because somebody did do that to me when I was 19 years old. He gave me a prophecy, and my whole life did a 180 after that. Some stranger took a risk on me. And so, because Dad and I were talking about, Dad was suggesting that you don't want to make somebody's situation worse when you're trying to do it. And you don't want to cause unbelief, which is true. And I think that's what one of the things we can do is, especially if we're led to somebody, to say, what's the worst case scenario? They go, okay. And Smith Wigglesworth took a dead body and put it up against a wall. What was the worst case scenario? There was nobody there to witness it.
Yeah.
It was just him and one other guy. What's the worst case scenario? He would have a really weird thing that he'd have to go, I didn't work. What was the best case scenario? She lived. Wow. Okay, then we can do these things. And then when I would do that also, before I would lead somebody into speaking in tongues, I go, you can't think about yourself. If you're thinking about yourself, you're not going to do it. Most people.
Yeah.
I feel it's not working. I go, you got to be thinking about it. And I say, get quiet. I go, who's on your heart right now? And I say, Christ is putting somebody on your heart. Who needs help right now? And almost every time they go, it's my mom. You know who you need to pray for. Now, your mom could be contemplating suicide. Your mom could be getting ready to get hit by a drunk driver. And the thing is, will you do this for her? Will you do this for them? What's the worst case scenario? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
What's the best case scenario? You save somebody's life. And usually that's how, especially if somebody doesn't work, they try speaking in tongues. Oh, it didn't work. I feel stupid. You're looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 16, verse 31. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ came back. And he left them, and oh no, all of our power is gone because the Messiah is gone. He comes back, okay, we're fine again. He goes, I'm getting ready to leave again, guys. But don't depart from Jerusalem until you receive the power. They're going to receive power, 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 power. What kind of power are we talking about? Because we're going to get to Smith Wigglesworth. If somebody would read chapter 16, verse 31.
He said unto him, if unto Moses and the prophets they do not hearken, neither if one from among the dead should arise, would they be persuaded.
That's real important with power. Because we, a good-hearted people, we think that if somebody just sees a miracle, then they'll be converted.
Yeah.
We need a resurrection and people will really know this is the Word. And Yehoshua goes, if they don't believe Moses, and if they can't be convinced by the words, it doesn't fix a heart problem. Pharaoh knew that he was outmatched.
Yeah.
He's not going to bow down. Barack Obama, if Michelle died and you resurrected, he's still not going to kneel down to Jesus Christ. It's a heart thing. So don't mistake power with fixing everything. But it could be... So Acts chapter 1. So that's going to be a preface, because every once in a while you're going to think, and I used to think that too, hey, if I give somebody a prophecy, boom, this is going to change everything. It could. But don't be distracted. Sometimes people are saying, I don't want it. They can walk off. So don't let that affect you. If somebody would read Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8.
And being in company with them, he charged them from Jerusalem not to absent themselves, but to abide around the promise of the Father which he have heard of me. Because John indeed immersed with water, but ye in Holy Spirit shall be immersed, after not many of these days. They therefore, having come together, began to question him, saying, Lord, art thou at this time duly establishing...
No, that's good. So he said, you're going to receive power. You're going to be immersed with power. Okay. And what's neat when you're reading about Smith Wigglesworth, man, this guy, he wasn't perfect, but man, he was really humble in a lot of areas. And he said, the book of Acts is a continuation of Jesus Christ's ministry. And Yahweh through Christ. Because you watch what happens on when Peter stands up and 3,000 get saved, and then 5,000 get saved, and the man again, beautiful. It was like, and he goes, and Smith Wigglesworth will also say the book of Acts hasn't stopped. It's up to us to be participants, like Phillips and Stevens and stuff of that sort. But power doesn't fix everything, because there are a lot of people that still rejected Jesus Christ. There's a hard issue. Now we're going to take a look at power. Now it's real easy to say, yeah, an arm growing out. I just saw a woman with, she had an arm and she had like little bitty fingers right here. That's it. Walking up a stairs and she had a hard time. It would have been really neat to be able to heal her and have something grow out, right? It's easy to even envy that or want that. But we're going to look at a different thing of power. So what is the best power? Well, we're going to come back to that, because it's not necessarily miracles, mighty works. It's prophecy. The prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, we'll come back to John chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. So Dad was just saying this. He goes, you can't go wrong with prophecies. I mean, when it comes to ministering, if you really want to make an impact on somebody, and I try to do that a lot, you know, because I know Yahweh's inside me. He's got something to save people. And we would like to heal people. We would like to walk on water. We'd like to get to those things. Now, I'm not there yet. A lot of you guys might not be there either. But don't get distracted, because when you get ready to do a chapter or a paper, what's really important, Rush Limbaugh would say, you have to read the beginning, the opening, and then read the conclusion, and you get a good idea with the body and the importance of something. And then you can decide whether you read the article. That's what Rush Limbaugh would do. Would somebody please read verse 1 of the power chapter? Would you read that?
What chapter again?
Chapter 14, verse 1.
Pursue love. Nevertheless, be anxious of the spiritual gifts, and rather that ye may be prophesying.
Rather that you may what?
Be prophesying.
Be prophesying. Prophesying, it's open. The word gifts is not in the text that was added. Be envious of spiritual, and it says that again later on in, but he says it twice, be envious of spiritual. But Yahweh starts this off. It's good to have power and all the rest of this, but what does he want you to do?
Prophesy.
Rather that ye may be prophesying. What's the last verse of this chapter say? Verse 39. Esther, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. It's 40.
39, okay.
So then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy, and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues.
And then so it's not the very last, but you're right, but it's very close to. So what does Yahweh conclude all this? Prophesy. Speak in tongues, but prophesy, 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 prophesy. And we're going to go, okay, so Smith Wigglesworth, I mean, I want to do some of these things, which is good, but prophesy. Yahweh is inside of us. Read verse 24. What happens when somebody does give a prophecy? Verse 24. Esther, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. On chapter 14?
Yeah.
Okay. But if all be prophesying, and there come in one who is unbelieving or unskilled, he is convicted by all, he is searched by all, the secrets of his heart become manifest.
And what happens to this person? Now, when you give a good prophecy, and you're at, what's verse 25 say?
And so, falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto God, reporting that in reality God is among you.
That's a prophecy. You really want to make an impact on somebody's life? He tells right there. I never even saw it. I was just discussing this with Dad. We're reading this. Minds are blown. I'm just thankful, going, I wouldn't even be considering certain things had I not been reading about Smith Wigglesworth. And if you are never even considering things, how can Yahweh ever tell you to do stuff? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're reading about doing surgeries and you, hey, I got to do a tracheotomy, and you're reading about it, and y'all can say there's a guy needs a tracheotomy, but how can you tell Mel that? It just wouldn't be as easy. But if you're reading about supernatural things and healings and wonderful things, you're giving Yahweh a lot more real estate to work with. But don't get distracted with these big gigantic things, because it says it right here. And turn to John chapter 1 verse 43. We're going to look at an example of this. And then we're going to go to Smith Wigglesworth. Not to belittle what he was doing either. Man, we're going to get to meet that guy someday. And it was neat. As you guys are turning there, I'm cleaning the house, and John chapter 1, verse 43. I'm listening. Ever since I moved into Yahweh's house, became steward, one of my vows was, instead of people having TV going on all the time or a radio going on all the time, I wanted a Christian radio, but I kind of turn it off, blasphemy. I want Yahweh's word. And I was hearing Daniel, and I never heard this today. It was the messenger explaining to Daniel what all this wacko wild stuff was. And here's his AA, and I've never heard this part of Daniel. I'm like, wow. He goes, and this means this, and then this guy's going to do this. And you can imagine Daniel going,
yeah.
you can imagine being at the Warren Theater, Cinemax, and hear this thing's being explained. And it says, but Daniel, you'll go to sleep, and you'll be resurrected, and you're going to receive your reward. And that's the cool. They're like, man, how cool is that with Daniel getting to explain that? And before we read John chapter 1, verse 43, what was it that saved Joseph's family from the famine? Because Joseph had to get promoted. What did he do? It was the secrets of Pharaoh's heart. It was the dream. And it was the dream that Pharaoh said, and I can imagine him falling down on his knees going, because Yahweh knows what's in the heart. And the first time I got a prophecy, I was a tough guy. And all I know is that this stranger with a beard that I didn't know started saying things to me, and I was crying, and snot was pouring out of my face, and I felt great. I didn't understand it. And I said, what just happened to me? What happened with Daniel? It's the same thing. Of the truth, you are the living Elohim. We're the temple. And prophecy is one of it. And we're going to get to see how Nathaniel, if somebody read verse 43 through 50, the perfect prophet, how he did it.
On the morrow he desired to go forth unto Galilee, and Yahushua finding Philip and said unto him, be following me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finding Nathanael said unto him of whom wrote Moses in the law and the prophets, have we found Yahushua, son of Joseph, him from Nazareth. And Nathanael said unto him, out of Nazareth can any good thing come? Philip said unto him, come and see.
We'll pause here for just a second. What a great way to lead somebody. Because Jesus Christ doesn't go to Nathanael. It's his brother. And his brother goes, man, we've got the best Bible teacher. Where is he from? And just think of the worst place ever or whatever you wouldn't expect. And he goes, does anything good come out of
California?
And what does he say? Come and see. Come to fellowship. Come check it out. What's the worst case scenario? We're going to sit at home flipping through Facebook?
Yeah.
What if it's real? And that's what Phil did in Nathaniel. Now, go ahead.
47. Yahushua saw Nathanael coming unto him and said concerning him, see, truly an Israelite in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence dost thou know me? Yahushua answering and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answering him, Rabbi, thou art the son of Yahweh, thou art king of Israel. Yahushua answering and said unto him.
So he falls down upon his knees. It didn't say that, but I bet you he fell down and it just got that core. Boom. Remember when Jesus Christ said they're looking for the body, and he goes, Mary or Miriam, and she turned and she knew it was the Lord. He knows how to say the right word at the right time in the right way. When Yahweh did that to me about me going and traveling the world, I didn't know what it meant, but I turned into a puddle. Here's Nathanael. What got Nathanael? It was a prophecy. It wasn't walking on the water. It wasn't casting out a demon. But here was this thing. Boom! And here's Nathanael. Can everybody else look at Nathanael going, hey, so what happened on the fig tree, man? You don't understand. You're like, man, holy moly. And that's prophecy. That's prophesying. Did Jesus Christ have to produce faith?
Yes.
Yes. He is the chief producer well of faith there has ever been. Like his father. Did Jesus Christ know the words are always coming out of his mouth? Probably not. That's what prophesying is coming. It's not all laid out in front of you. If Yahweh lays it all out in front of you, does that take faith? Esther Scout. That's not faith. So you can imagine even our Lord and Savior walking out and hearing and Yahweh meeting him and meeting him and meeting him. And then the words come out and Yehoshua getting to appreciate that. Because if you ever given a prophecy to somebody, you didn't know if it was accurate, and then you see them melt. You're like, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And that's what he's calling us. Acts 1:8, you will see power from on high. We already went to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says, covet to prophesy. Does it say covet to heal the sick?
No.
Does it say covet to cast out demons? So it says zealous, but it's the same word as covet. Does it say covet to love your wives? No. Covet to love your neighbor? No, but Yahweh does say covet to prophesy. Why? He's got a lot of messages for a lot of people. Yeah. And he doesn't have a whole lot of speaker phones. I got stuff for everybody. Are you kidding me? This is what you're thinking you're on. I'm going to act like Esther for a second. I don't know if Dana really wants to hear it. I mean, she thinks this stuff's weird. Do you think Yahweh has anything that he'd like to tell that little girl? Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to call it a prophecy. You walk out and he will just change lives. And you might not ever see the fruit. You don't need to see the fruit. Yeah. But you'll get a confirmation going, what was that? And every once in a while, eloquent words and visions will come out of your mouth and you don't even know where they came from. You're like, oh, I was a conduit for the creator of the universe. And before we go into Smith Wigglesworth, so that's real important. Prophecy, 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 prophecy. Now we're going to talk about healing. Turn to Psalms 90 first. This is what Smith Wigglesworth is so good at. This is a new one I'm memorizing now. I was going to try it at the beginning, but I think I was butchering. This is Moses' Psalm. 38 years in the wilderness. I didn't even know there was a psalm written by Moses until I was listening to Word of Promise on the way to Africa. And I'm hearing it, and all of a sudden Moses' voice comes in Psalms. I'm hearing David, I'm hearing Solomon, these other voices. Then here comes Richard Dreyfuss. I'm like, hey, I get my Bible out. Wow, look at that. Now, what Smith Wigglesworth is really good at, and this can be the same thing with prophesying, and it doesn't mean healing people. It's whatever Yahweh wants to deliver them or help them with. And usually you can't go wrong with prophesying. But what Smith will do is he goes, you have to, like when I lead somebody to speak in tongues, you can't be thinking about yourself. You got to say, quit being so selfish. And they're like, well, that's offensive. You're thinking about yourself. People need your help. Mm-hmm. Think about them. But what Smith will do is he goes, I'm going to take your attention, all of our attention, and let's focus on Yahweh. I just saw a video yesterday on Facebook, and it was like a feather starfish, a creature I have never seen before, floating through the ocean. And I'm marveling, going, what is this cool thing? You guys ever seen anything like that? You didn't even know it existed?
No.
Am I blessed? Yes. Am I surprised Yahweh created something like that? No. They're getting closer pictures of Mars and Saturn, and we're getting to see these pictures. Are you surprised Yahweh can make something like that?
No.
We've never seen that zoom. Do you think there's animals at the bottom of the ocean we still haven't seen yet? Of course. Are you going to be surprised if they find another seahorse? No. Because this is Yahweh. He spoke and then it was. Here's Saturn, here's the moons, here's the galaxies, I remember I was talking to Dad, I was learning about the human body and going to antibodies and the digestive system. How does your intestines know how to absorb the right things and get rid of the wrong things? I was talking to my dad one time, I go, how long did it take Yahweh to figure all this stuff out? Dad said, it didn't take him long. That's him. And so what Smith Wigglesworth would do is whoever needed the help, he goes, you need to focus on Yahweh in Christ Jesus. Look at this. So you can see the footnote above the word Lord, verse 1. What's the footnote say? My Lord or?
Adonai.
So I'm memorizing with Adonai. So this is beautiful, at least for me. Adonai. A dwelling place hast thou become to us. Think about nothing existing. And Yahweh spoke. Matter into being, planets, a dwelling place that thou become to us from generation to generation. Before the mountains were born. Let's use our imagination for a second. As far as we know, how are mountains formed? We believe tectonic plates. And when they say this is how they're done, say, you don't know that. Objection! What ground? You'd say that's speculation. Have they ever seen the tectonic plates? But anyways, but yeah, it would appear that there's these plates that did this and pushed up the Rocky Mountains. Can you think about mountains being born? So here's Yahweh through Moses. Before the mountains were born, when thou hast brought forth the earth and the world, from age unto age thou wast El. Thou causest man to return to dust and hast said, return you sons of Adam. For 1,000 years in thine eyes are as yesterday, in that it has passed away. We're a watch in the night. 1,000 years is nothing to him. Is it hard for you to imagine Yahweh, the creator of the universe, and these things? No, it's easy, isn't it? We're taught by healing somebody or resurrecting somebody. We got to start focusing on him, not the situation, not the circumstance. Because if Yahweh can create a baby in Shauna's womb through faith, then he can create an arm for somebody that doesn't have an arm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If he can create a seed this big that's going to turn into sequoia 300 feet tall, can he create an eye that works? Absolutely. It's ridiculous, preposterous to think he couldn't. So what we got to do is, what Smith Wigglesworth is, he would start prepping them. Where is your faith? What are we looking at? And then we do the same thing, but we go, what's the worst case scenario? If it doesn't work. Here's in my case. Recently, when I was 28, I couldn't walk upstairs. I remember your mom was at one of the teachings. I couldn't believe but I went running recently, and all of a sudden my knee started wobbling like I tore an ACL. All of a sudden, doom, doom, doom. And I'm like, oh, great. Well, what's the point now? I guess it didn't work. Is that what we're supposed to do? Well, it didn't work anymore. I wore out. Spare's gone. That's what I was thinking. I was at the gym, and then Yahweh was like, why aren't you fixing it? Who cares what the problem is? Fix it. When I was in football, I got hit really, really, really hard. Really hard. So hard that there was no option of me saying, they say, did that hurt? What are you going to say if a coach asks you if that hurt?
No.
Nope. The coach just asked me if it hurt, and there was no response. I could drag him off the field. I'm on the side of the field. I look at my leg as it broke, and I looked at it, and Yahweh inside me was prepping something. I look at my leg, there's so much pain, and Christ, I looked at my hand, and Christ and Yahweh were like, Aaron, that's my hand. That's your hand. I heal it. And I reach out. It didn't work. Did I survive? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm learning. And you're learning. To rebuild things. Can Yahweh rebuild an ACL?
Absolutely.
So what do we got to do? Does he want to rebuild an ACL? Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say these things? If Yahweh be for us, who could be against us? He at least... His own son did not spare, but on behalf of us all, delivered him up. How shall he not all things upon us bestow? Yes! Yes! So the answer is yes. So what do we got to do? Who would like to minister to me right now? Any volunteers? So you'll be ready.
Were you serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. Any one of these things. So you're afraid. Well, I got healed once and it's not working anymore. We got to quit coming to our own conclusions. I tried it, it didn't work. The point of your life and my life is to produce faith. And it's to be exercising faith. Your injuries is a chemistry lab to practice to get ready to help other people.
Yeah.
If you aren't working on yourself, how are you ever going to work on a stranger? You still could. But when you get an injury and you start feeling, oh no, how can I ever help anybody because of this? You go, none of that stinking thinking. This is excellent. I'm going to fix this. You're in the room. the physician's in the room, the creator's in the room. All I have to do is start learning. And we tune in. In Romans chapter 4:17, if you guys want to turn there while I'm turning here, if somebody would read... And if I was going to give any kind of catchphrases to the teachings, it would be, what if it worked? Now, we esteem others superior to ourselves, and if it doesn't work, it could cause more problems. Have you guys ever seen people with good intentions? You just go grab somebody in a wheelchair and take them out without talking to them, without discussing. You could cause a lot of problems. So what could we do? I don't necessarily know, but I think we can talk to him. You say, do you think that the creator of the universe, who did this and did this and did this and did this, do you know who we're talking about? And you could feed off him and say, do you think he has the ability? Okay, so if we pulled you out of your wheelchair and it didn't work, I'll catch you. What's the worst case scenario? Have you ever filled out? I have. Would you like to give a shot? No? Okay. Would Yahweh be pleased if you gave somebody an offer like that?
Definitely.
Yeah. But what if it does work? Because this whole book right here is about his successes.
Yeah.
The successes of a plumber. We don't see his failures. We will someday, possibly. He failed all the time. He had to. I think it was Oral Robertson. 1 out of 10 got healed. Golly! What if he quit?
Yeah.
I'm so glad he didn't quit. So somebody read 4 verse 17.
Even as it is written, Father of many nations have I appointed thee, before him who he believed, Yahweh who causeth the dead to live, and called the things that are not as things that are.
You could keep reading that to 22, you don't have to. But Yahweh speaks the things that are not as though they are. And he's put the rule inside of us, and he's given us the power. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it? And we got to go, I don't necessarily know. But you know what? One thing, he's inside all of us, and he's eagerly waiting, going, I have been waiting for this moment. Yeah. Come with me. Let's go on a walk.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you going, Granddaddy, will you please show me how online Bible works? Granddad would be like, absolutely. 3 o'clock work? Would he be excited? How much more so with Yahweh teaching us how to walk in power? Now here's Smith Wigglesworth. Dad had this one this other day. He had me read this, and to say that I was moved is an understatement. Now, these testimonies will help if you use your imagination. If you don't use your imagination, they still work, but it didn't have near the effect. I want everybody in here to imagine a boy. Just get quiet. Yahweh will be inside you. Somebody who needs help. A loved one. Somebody you know. Okay? Everybody got somebody? Because then, whoever that person is in your heart, I want you to insert their name about what we're getting ready to read. So it's not just a name on a page. It's, what's the name of your boy?
Thomas.
Mine will be Isaiah. So I'm going to put Isaiah in here going, what if this was happening to Isaiah? I received letters and a telegram about a certain case. But when I arrived, I was told I was too late. This is Smith Wigglesworth. I said, that can't be. Yahweh has never sent me too late anywhere. Yahweh showed me when I went that something different would happen. So you got a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Yahweh said something different is going to happen. He's checking in going, I'm not late. Would that be bad news? It's too late. Don't disturb the master now. It's too late. So Yahweh said something different is going to happen to anything I had seen previously. The people I went to were all strangers. I was introduced to a young man. What's his name? Thomas. It's going to be Isaiah. I was introduced to a young man who lay helpless. And for him, for whom there was no hope, the doctor had been to see him that morning and declared that he would not live through the day. Thomas is going to die. Isaiah is going to die. This is it. He lay with his face to the wall, and when I spoke to him, he whispered, "I can't turn over." His mother said that they had had to lift him out of the bed on sheets for weeks, and that he was so weak and helpless that he had to stay in one position. The young man said, "My heart is so weak." I assured him, "Yahweh is the strength of thy heart and thy portion forever. If you will believe Yahweh, it shall be so today." Whew. You know, I would hesitate. Doctors don't want to give false hope. Because if you give false hope, it can cause more problems possibly, right? But we're going to look at somebody, and we don't get to see Smith Wigglesworth's failures. But this one's going to work. And if Isaiah was on the table, how thankful would I have been for this man to show up? He says that. Then he says, "Our Christ is risen. He is a living Christ who dwells within us. We must not have this truth merely as a theory. Christ must be risen in us by the power of the Spirit. The power that raised him from among the dead must animate us. And as this glorious resurrection power surges through our being, you will be free from all your weakness, and you will become strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. There is a resurrection power that Yahweh wants you to have and to have today. Why not?" What's the worst case scenario if this doesn't work?
Same thing.
Doctors were right. He goes to sleep. At least he tried, right? That's how I would have done it. Then he says, "Receive your portion here and now." I said to these people, "I believe your son will rise today." They only laughed. People did not expect to see signs and wonders today, as the disciples saw of old. Has Yahweh changed? Or has our faith waned so that we are not expecting greater works that Jesus promised? We must not harp on any minor key. Our message must be rise to concert pitch, and there must be nothing left out of it that is in the book. It was wintertime, and I said to the parents, "Will you get the boy's suit and bring it here?" It's wintertime. He's going to go outside. I would assume, why would you need a suit? You're in bed. The parents, they would not listen to the request, for they were expecting the boy to die. But I had gone to that place believing Yahweh. In Romans 4:17, we read, "I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickened the dead and calleth the things which be not as though they were." Yahweh, help us to understand this. You know, he goes off on some neat, tangents. I'm going to speed up. At the end of this tangent, he talks about what faith is. He talks about shouting and speaking it. "At last I persuaded the parents to bring the boy's clothes, and I laid them on the bed. From the natural viewpoint, the boy..." Are you still seeing it? Are you seeing Thomas? Okay. "God has revealed..." let me see here. "From that natural viewpoint, the young man lay dying. I spoke to the afflicted one. Yahweh has revealed to me that as I lay my hands upon you, the place will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and the bed will be shaken. You will be shaken and thrown out of your bed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You will dress yourself and be strong. I said this to him in faith. I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and instantly power of Yahweh fell and filled the place. I felt helpless and I fell flat on the floor. I knew nothing except that a short while after the place was shaken, I heard the young man walking over me saying, 'For thy glory, Lord, for thy glory, Lord.' He dressed himself and cried, 'God has healed me.' The father fell, the mother fell, and another who was present fell also." They all fell. What if he didn't try? What if that was Isaiah? What if that was me or Ryan? This guy didn't. He wasn't afraid of failure. And we read another example.
Well, face the end of it. No. He's alive today, teaching the boys.
Okay, well, I got to stay on point. So maybe if we have time at the end, you can explain that if it's good. What is it? What were you saying?
Never mind.
The boy is alive teaching?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
That's all.
No, go ahead.
Well, that's the end of it. The boy is alive teaching today. I mean, his time period. So it wasn't like he was sick a week later and died.
Okay. All right. Now, this is Be Not Afraid, page 625 of the same book. And what am I here for? Because Yahweh has delivered me when no other hand could do it. I stand before you, this is Smith Wigglesworth, before you as one who had given up by, was given up by everybody, when no one could help. Sound like Tim. I was earnest and zealous for the salvation of souls. If you were in, I'm going to speed up. And go on that he had no problem witnessing and witnessing and witnessing, but Smith Wigglesworth knew nothing of power. He did not exercise it. I had to tell a friend of mine, I said, if you aren't exercising your faith, how can you get better at it? And he didn't answer that. I said, do you know if you're going to need a lot of faith to heal your mom? And how can you expect to be ready to heal somebody you love if you're not exercising this much faith today? My friend Ben looked at me. He goes, I never thought of it that way. I said, you don't know what tomorrow's holding. Get busy. Because we don't know if it's going to be somebody we love. And we never practiced it.
Yeah.
And he's going, that's on you. And you're going to see some things. And hopefully that's not the case. But if you're working and you're exercising your faith and it doesn't work, that's all I could do. I did all that I could, right? Mm-hmm. And Smith Wigglesworth didn't know how to exercise power. But guess what he needs now? He needs to be healed, and he's going to die. Here he says, I'm going to speak. Yes, one night 30 years ago, I was carried home helpless. We knew very little about divine healing, but we prayed through. It was 30 years and more since Yahweh healed me. I'm 68 years old and fresher and better health and more fit for work than I've ever been. This next part is really neat. With anybody needing healing, continual healing. We don't give up. We don't have to give up. If it doesn't work, that's fine. You don't have to give up. I remember we were working out one time and somebody said about the losing their hair. And Izzy said, I'm not losing my hair. I go, I don't know how to choice. Of course you have a choice. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I got some gray hair on the side. Not anymore. You listen to me. I'm practicing. Mm-hmm. Work on yourself. But here in this next part, he says, the divine power that sweeps through the organism, cleaning the blood, makes the man fresh every day. The life of Yahweh is resurrection power.
Wow.
How do we let Yahweh loose through your body? Faith, obedience, communion with Him. If you haven't talked to Him in 6 months, well, I check in every once in a while. Man, I'm talking about going on a walk. Like Dad does. You know, but anyway, so here he is. You see, when they brought me home helpless, we prayed all night. We did all we knew. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I said to my wife, he tells her to get ready for death. The physician examined him. Let me see here. I'll kind of speed things up. The physician says, I'm believing he's going to die. What the doctor said was true. He left her and said he would come back again, but he couldn't give her any hope. And that's what we just say, what's the worst case scenario? That's what I was just saying, with speaking in tongues, you're healing. We talk to somebody saying, hey, what's the worst case scenario? If it doesn't work, will you live? Could you handle that? And usually people laugh at me. What's the best case scenario? And you give them a waiver. And if they say, I'm not interested, okay, that's great. Then you know, you at least you made the offer, right? But what if they say, I'm ready? Okay, let's do this. And if it doesn't work, is Yahweh glorified? You took somebody out of a wheelchair? What? I've never taken anybody out of a wheelchair. I didn't just take him out of a wheelchair. It was consensual. Wow! Can you imagine Yahweh, the angels going, this guy's getting it. He's going the right way. Because we are not alone. You are not alone. He's in the room. He's in here. He wants to help you with your knees and your blood pressure. He wants to fix things on side of you. And he's sitting there waiting as the great physician to say, when you're ready, I'm ready. This is my dad's body. He designed it. I get to fix it. And I'll show you how to do it. And then you'll say, when I get this, I have a testimony to share it to everybody. And get yourself fired up. You go, let's do this then. Let's do it again. Do it again. You want to go taller? You want to go shorter? Want to get darker skin? I want darker skin. I'll give you all the glory. But here he goes. He was nicely out of the house when an old lady and a young man who knew how to pray came in. That's all we know about these two people. Remember, this is before Smith Wigglesworth's ministry of healing. See his whole book? Didn't exist yet. The young man who knew how to pray came in. The young man put his knees on the bed and said, "Come out, you devil, in the name of Jesus." That's it. Who were they?
Messengers, maybe.
It was a good job. Smith Wigglesworth. It was a good job. We had no time for argument. And instantly I was free. He said, "Oh, hallelujah." He starts putting on his... He reminded me of my dad. Smith Wigglesworth, he goes, "I believe that any person ought to not be in bed in daytime." So I jumped up and went downstairs, put on his clothes. I got to go to work. That's my dad. My wife said, "Well, are you up?" Anyways, I'll keep reading. My wife said, "Are you up?" "I'm all right, wife." She goes, "Is everything all right now?" "Yes, everything's fine." He went to get his tools. He wanted to know where his men are. She was like, "Nobody's working today." "You're going to die." He goes, I'm off to work. Then the doctor came. He walked up the stairs. My wife called, "Doctor, doctor, he's out." "What?" he said. "Yes," she said. "He's out to work?" "Oh." He said, "You will never see him alive again. They will bring him home a corpse." Smith Wigglesworth says, "Am I a corpse?" My question to you, if that the old woman, that young woman, or young man, had not walked out in faith and risked failure, would that little boy who had a suit laid out ever live?
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
How many people in here would have never received healings? How many testimonies would have never happened if those two people didn't heal Smith Wigglesworth, which was like the beginning of his healing ministry? Maybe your healing ministry is tomorrow.
Yeah.
How many people's lives could be changed if we choose to only believe? If we look at the worst case and the best case scenario, go, can you handle the worst case? Yeah, I've had a lot worse than that, man. There's another one. And the last healing was it was in the same thing. Now, there's a lot of things in here that he teaches is wrong. But man, what he always does, I guess Tim got it here in the middle, Smith would focus on Yahweh, not me, not the circumstance. Let's just look at some of his work. Seeing a baby formed in a womb. We looked at one beautifully and wonderfully made, and this guy started explaining what a placenta was. He goes, "A placenta is an organ. If you unfold it, it's as big as half of a basketball court." Isn't that weird? The placenta, the mom can have one blood, the mom's blood type could be one, and the placenta will change the blood for the baby who's a different blood type. How does it do that? They said that when the baby detaches from the placental wall, all those arteries pumping to the baby, she should die. Except Yahweh put hoodies in there. You know what a hoodie is when you pull the drawstrings? These drawstrings, he goes, every woman should die. It's the biggest wound they'll ever... And they, how he had 7, 8 kids? And this placenta. And you just look at that, you're going to go, can you design a placenta? No. I think he can handle an eyeball.
Yeah.
Yes, if you do these things, you start building up their faith, looking at him, looking at him, looking at him. And what's the worst case scenario? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You'll show us how to walk out. You'll show us how to protect people so we don't harm them with our good intentions, that we can say what's the worst case scenario. But what if? What if it doesn't work? We should talk about that, but what we should say, but what if it works? What if it does work? We thank you, Father, that you live inside of us and your word. Do not be fearful to walk out. Do not be fearful to be adventurous. For I am an adventurous God. Look at my creation. Look at the stars in the sky. I designed all these things for exploration and adventures. Me with my children. I want adventures with you. And I want to also heal people and to set people free. Don't be distracted on who you think needs help. I'll be the one that tell you who needs help. And many of the people that need help are the last people you think even need help. Many of them are stronger than you. Many of them are more successful than you. They look happier than you. But I am the one that knows they need a word now. And I will give you the word just as I gave the word for that young man that healed Smith Wigglesworth. And one day, just like Daniel, you'll get to see how it all played out. So don't give up and don't quit. Your life's just getting interesting.